say good morning to everybody. That was actually pretty good. I want to take a few minutes this morning before we get into the work of the day to talk about what we're doing. And I think from time to time I probably need to do this, partly because there's new people in and partly because there's forgetful people already here. And what I want to do this morning is to read you the verse that's at the center of everything we're doing. Now, we've been working out of James 3, but that's not the place we're starting. So I want you to turn to Colossians for just a minute. We're looking at Colossians chapter 3. And verse 2. There's a context for this, but we're not going to try to deal with that context. I just want to look at that verse. And the verse says, "Let your thoughts be on things above and not the things on the earth. Let your mind be set on things above and not on earthly things," another translation says. Now, one of the biggest frustrations you can possibly have is when you know you're supposed to do something, but you don't necessarily know how. And so the question is, how do you accomplish what that verse asks you to do? And there are there's a fellow who put together some things that I want to share with you. He says there's really three stages to this, and I think there's enough to this that I want to share this with you. Some of this you will have seen before, some of this you will see again, because these are the things that are at the heart of what we're working on. Turn to Philippians, which is just before Colossians, chapter 4, verse 8. If you're going to set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth, where do you start? This is the beginning stage. This is, if you will, the start. And it says, "Finally, brothers, let your minds be filled with everything that is true, everything that is honorable, everything that is upright and pure, everything that we love and admire, everything that is good and praiseworthy." Another translation says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, can anybody who was here last week see how this fits into the things we talked about last week? Do you remember? This is pop quiz time. Time for classes to start again.
Well, it has to do with you can't get the mind of Christ without getting into this type of thinking.
What I was driving at was this. There's this wonderful little story that Jesus tells about the woman who had an unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit was driven out. And it wandered for a while, didn't find a place to light, came back, found everything swept out, clean, and empty. Went and got seven spirits worse than itself. They all came in, set up housekeeping, and the woman was worse off than she was before, Jesus tells us. How do you take care of the things that Satan brings into your life? Do you drive out the bad things? Well, yeah, there's a piece to that. But what's the key? To replace and fill with something else. And that's what this sounds like to me. Set your mind on things above. How do you do that? You start by thinking about, let your mind chew on, work on those things.
I've got a new toy.
Yeah, I've got a new toy. And the toy is an iPod. And one of the things that iPods can do is podcasting. We're working actually on being able to podcast the lessons out of this class, and we're pretty close. For those of you who know where the lessons are, by the way, I found out this week, I did not know that if you have everything set up to where you can read the things, then all you have to do is right-click, say open, and you can actually play it directly. Now, there's one thing you have to do in the computer to reset file types and all that, and that's what I don't know how to tell you how to do. But we worked through all that on Monday of this week. We're trying to get a direction page together. But it means we can stream the lessons as they come off of this device. But anyway, I've been podcasting or pulling down a podcast from the New York Times Science page. And one of the things, it's really neat. I've got about a 30-minute commute every day, and I can listen to about two of these things each way. It talked about monarch butterflies. Do you know anything about monarch butterflies? They weigh half a gram when they're adults. And monarch butterflies have just about the longest migration of anything going, except I think there's one bird that migrates from somewhere in North Canada to somewhere down in the south of Chile. Other than that bird, the monarch's about the furthest one. The brain of the monarch butterfly is tiny, and yet somehow it can navigate from a particular place down in South America to a particular place in the United States and do it again and do it again and do it again. And their comment is, they don't know how the monarch butterfly does that. What information does it store? What information does it process? Your brain is bigger than that. You've got the ability to do a lot of things, and some of us can't find our way home, I heard somebody say. The question is, what do you do with your thoughts? Now, the person who put this together says, psychologists tell us that each person has about 10,000 thoughts per day. They tell me that for good health, I should go with 10,000 steps every day. Have you heard that? I hardly ever make that, but can you tip the proportion? Can you think more about things that are pure and right and noble and true and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy? Wouldn't that be a nice change? That's where you start. Much of the whole thought process remains a mystery to scientists and psychologists, but one thing is not a mystery. How you think is going to affect your Christian life. How you think will make a profound difference in how you represent Christ. And a person must decide, choose, or determine what is to be the focus of their thoughts. Number two, Romans 12. Remember, all I'm trying to do now is give you a background to all the different things we have been doing and will continue to do. Romans chapter 12. This is, if you will, the middle stage. The stage in which growth comes. If you think about those kinds of things, things start to happen in your mind. And Romans 12 verse 2 talks about this. My translation says, do not model your behavior on the contemporary world, but let the renewing of your minds transform you. Do not conform, in other words, but allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may be able to discern for yourselves what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is mature. He goes on to mention that there are something on the order of 100 million people in the United States who report that they go to church from time to time. But on any given Sunday, not all of them are in church. And on any given Sunday, Sunday schools are not necessarily full. He gives an average number of people who attend Sunday school in a church in the United States. And that average is less than the number in this room right now. But you guys are here. Maybe these kinds of things will transform. You have to commit to let the work that the Spirit wants to do on your mind take place. What the Spirit works with is what you think about. Now, this guy describes the third stage as qualified. And I would say qualified for service. Now you're ready to go do something that would be useful in the kingdom. So, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's one of the little books right before Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. In my translation, it says, "Your minds then must be sober and ready for action. Put all your hope in the grace brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Put all your hope in the revelation. The grace brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why do people get spiritually frustrated? His answer is because they have learned something, but they haven't put those things into action. And he says the way you put it into action is not just rearrange what's there. It is have the transformation that we talked about, and then start looking for ways to put that into service. There are two things advertised in the bulletin this morning. Do you have your bulletin? I call it a bulletin because that's what the church, not the order of worship, but the big longer thing. Okay. Turn, I think it's to page 2. I don't have mine in front of me, so I'm not sure. If there isn't a picture, that's not the right page. There's a little cartoon somewhere on one of those pages.
Joy of belonging.
Yeah, now what's immediately below?
Spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts, right? What's our church trying to do with these two classes? Joy of belonging does what? Brings people into the church and lets them know what they've become a part of or what they might become a part of, because remember, you don't have to wait to ask for church membership before you attend that. What about the spiritual gifts? That's getting ready to get them involved. Now, these two classes sort of straddle these three steps, it seems to me. But I like the way it says this. Your minds must be sober and ready for action. How do you get them that way? You start thinking about the right kind of things so your mind is filled with good things and there's not room for bad things. The Spirit begins to work with that and you start to be transformed. And then you start to recognize God's got things that need to be done, and He's calling me to be part of some of those. Most of those are places, as Blackaby puts it, those are places where God's already active. He's just asking us to work alongside of Him. Three steps. Now, what we're trying to do is to get closer into, deeper into, what are the terms and the words that help us understand how Christ's mind worked, the things that were in His mind. And so, in that spirit, let's go back to our list. What are the words we've worked on so far?
Pure.
Gentle.
Peaceful.
Merciful.
Gentle.
And gentle. What are the two words we were going to work on today?
Intreatable
and merciful. Okay, so these are the three we've done. Intreatable and merciful are the words that we're going to work on. So, these are out of James chapter 3. I think the reference is up there. These are out of James chapter 3. We're working from a workbook by T.W. Hunt called The Mind of Christ. I had one of you come up to me this morning and say, it says that there's supposed to be 5 days worth of work each week, but I tried day one and it took me most of the week to get through day one. There's a lot to this, and some of you may want to move a little more slowly. What are the What are the synonyms for this? Have you been working on the word books? Don't learn them all out right in a row, but let's get them up here. What are some of the synonyms?
Willing.
Willing.
Open.
Approachable.
Available.
Let me pause for just a minute. Has anybody offered you today opportunities for service? I'm just curious.
Listening.
Did Wanda offer what? What was the purpose of that? What those who work on that, what are they trying to accomplish for the good of the body?
They're
trying to help us know each other. When you got, what did the pastor say this morning? 2,150 people attended worship services here. Like this is a reasonably good-sized church. And there's a good chance you're not going to... I don't know the names of all the people who attend these two classes, I'm ashamed to say. I work on it, but I don't know them all yet. That's just, you know, a couple of hundred. There's a whole lot more out there. So they're trying to help build community, so that we know each other, so we know something about each other. I have this dream, I don't know if it'll ever be fulfilled, of having a notebook for our class that every page has information about either a member of the class or a couple that's a member of the class that tells something about where they grew up, what schools they went to, tells about their children, tells about the work they do, where they live, and so forth. Just a page for every person. I think that'd be the coolest thing, because then I might have a chance of remembering, you know, a little picture up in the corner to help me remember what your face looks like right next to the name so I can correlate the two.
That'd be great.
It would be wonderful. I tried this about, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? And we got a little ways along. Technology's better now. I may some morning come in with a computer, set it back in the back, and have you sit down and type in a few things for a few minutes and see what we can do. I don't know how we're going to do that. Yes, ma'am.
If you really want to go that route and you get information from the people, I'd be willing to put it together.
Oh. Yeah. There's your volunteer. There you go.
I can clearly remember. I think the setting was in the second hour group, but I don't know that for sure. We had a group of people over to our house for dinner. We've tried to do that a little bit from time to time to get to know you all better. If you haven't been yet, we'll try to get you sometime. But this one night, we were going around the table, where are you from? We had four couples there plus Barbara and me. And the first person said, well, I'm from so-and-so. And five more people around the table said, wait a minute, that's only 10 miles from where I grew up. There were six people around that table. Six of the eight that we had invited were all from a 20-mile circle in West Virginia.
Small world.
It's a small world. And this kind of thing happens over and over. Last night, we had a group over for dinner. And one of those said, you know, when I was growing up, I said, where did you grow up? I grew up everywhere. I lived all over Virginia. My dad worked for the Virginia Department of Transportation. And I said, well, you know, do you know Ron Fink? He's in the other hour from you, but I think he worked for that. Ron Fink? My dad plays golf with him. Yeah. Since I can't remember the maiden name, I can't tell Ron who that is. Ron's memory doesn't help him, so we'll figure out later who that is. But there are things that will deepen the connections that you have with each other. And what you're trying to do is one of those things that we try to do every 5 years or so. And in spite of the fact that some of us look a little older in those pictures, I love the promise that they give. I don't believe it for a minute. Pardon?
They do all that. It won't look like it.
Well, that's true. That's true. Might look good, but it wouldn't look like us. Yes. What are the other opportunities for service that we give this morning? What other things did you hear about?
Upward basketball.
What else?
Prison ministry.
What you heard of the prison ministry was not so much a call to action this time, but rather a report on some of the things that were happening from that. That I don't think Alice is the only one that's going to be driven to tears over some of the things that happened in that program. What else did you hear about as opportunities? opportunity to support.
To pray.
Opportunity to be part of building stronger relationships among the men in our church. There's lots of opportunities, right? Should you work on every one of them? This is a very critical question. I'm just checking to make sure you know the answer. No. Should you work on none of them? No. What should you do? Try to find the place where your gifts and your passions, which is the purpose of the second class that they offer, where do your gifts and your passions line up with places that God's at work? Some of you serve us on Wednesday night, helping the fellowship of the body in the Wednesday night supper. Have you watched the people who do that? Have you watched Barbara? Have you watched some of the others that do this kind of thing? It's amazing to see that they actually look happy doing things that I don't know that I would enjoy doing. You go get a cup of coffee from John and you feel like you've been cheered up for the week. But there's other things going on too. There's some folks learning Spanish. They're not sure what they're going to do with it. But they're learning Spanish because there's probably going to be some service that would be able to do if I know some things that I couldn't do if I didn't. And lots of quiet stuff goes on that none of us know about. Entreatable. Willing. Open. Approachable. Available. I've got, I think, a couple more words. Cooperative is a word. Responsive is a word that P.W. Hunt put down.
Somewhere I wrote submissive.
Yeah. Willing to let somebody else, namely the Spirit, give me some sense of which one of these is important. Cooperative, I put down.
Bill?
Yes.
Going back to the Romans 12 image of being conformed, which is a word about being molded or shaped or something malleable.
Do you remember the I don't know how well this fits, but I think it fits well enough to do it. Do you remember the verse that says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit? Were you here when we talked about that? In the state of Virginia, it's my impression that there is a law that you can run afoul of if you're carrying distilled spirits or other kinds of things like that in a car. You could be arrested for possession. Okay? And you go. If it's open. If it's been open. There probably are rules about it, but you could be arrested for possession, but you can also be arrested for doing things under the influence. Right? Okay. That verse, I think, says, if you're a Christian, you're in possession of the Spirit. But are you under the Spirit's influence? That's the question. Don't be drunk on wine. Don't go under the influence of the things the world offers. Start functioning under the influence of the Spirit. Living while under the influence is what you want to be guilty of. Maybe that's something of what it's talking about. But flexible. Okay. What are the opposites for this word? Again, if you've been in the workbook a little bit, you may have, and you've gotten to this part, you may be ready to talk about this a little bit. What are the opposites for this
one? I like the word cool. What did you say?
I think you said cool and not in a positive sense. I think, yeah. D.W. Hunt says cold, which may be.
Yeah.
What else?
Entrenched.
Oh, I like that one. I don't remember that one. You've got approachable. Unapproachable.
Closed mind.
Unwilling.
Available.
Unwilling.
Unavailable.
I think closed minded.
Closed. Minded. And somebody had another word, unwilling, I think you said. Yeah, sometimes the opposites are, are fairly clear, unresponsive, uncooperative. You can start to play with some of those. T.W. Hunt put down this word, distant. Distant. And if you see cold up here, you might use the word warm back on this one. As opposed to lukewarm, yes. Okay. Now, if you're new, if you just come in today, I want to make sure you've heard this. The picture that we're working from, we won't do this all the way through the study, but we're going to do it as long as we can. That is, as long as I got some notes to help me. We're going to work on terms that come out of James 3:16. Then we're going to turn to fruits of the Spirit and try to do similar things. Then we're going to turn to the Sermon on the Mount, to the Beatitudes, and try to do the same again. So we've got a long list of terms that we're working through. And in each place, we're going to try to see what does that term mean by opening it up a little bit. And then we're going to talk about what would the opposite be. And in some cases, in these early cases anyway, we're going to look at something else, which is Satan's work is to try to pull you from this position, to try to pull you into these things. And if Satan fails at that, Satan often has a second tactic. What's that? To push you beyond into a perversion of this. And if you hear that thought, then the phrase in Matthew that Jesus talks about, a narrow way that few people find, and a broad way that seems like everybody finds, that starts to make more sense. I can get pulled off that narrow way this way. And if that's not working for this particular individual, then Satan may very well say, okay, let's push it to the extreme. A lot of the church, a lot of the religious leaders in Jesus' day didn't have so much of a problem here as much as they had a problem there. And the story of the prodigal son we mentioned a few days ago, the story of the prodigal son starts to bring out, I think that was in the context of this word. He had one son that had been pulled over here. He finally got him back and suddenly discovered his second son was over here, unforgiving and puritanical and unwilling to accept somebody's conversion. Wasn't that a wonderful letter this morning? A mother loses her faith and the son finds his and brings hers back too. But in the prodigal son, the story is left where we don't know what's going to happen to the other son. So, what are the perversions for this one?
Yes, person. Doormat,
yes, person. What else? What else?
Easy mark.
Yeah. And if you're looking at his list, they get better than that one. They get better than that one. So that's what I'm saying. Let one of these go in. Let's let that one sort of simmer for a minute. We'll pick up the others. Easy mark.
Gullible.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm all that comfortable pulling that there because if you, as somebody pointed out, submissive and flexible and you know willing to be led by the Spirit is a part of this one. So it's a word that maybe goes on the borderline and tip it one way, tip it the other way. You could be there. What's the next one on his list?
Pushover.
Another word that he uses is sucker. And my personal favorite, chump.
Chump.
I think there's an extra squiggle in there. You want to be available, but you also want to be somewhat discriminating in putting your efforts into the best place that your efforts can be put, not just the first person that asks or the first opportunity that comes along, or spread yourself too thin, try to do everything, because there's burnout down that road. Yes, John.
He asks us to put in our own what the intreatable is. I put in here helping out in situations where you can without thinking that you have to do it every time somebody asks you something.
And can you hear the narrow way? Can you hear the tightrope on that? Because if you spend all of your energy on something, then something that you're really called to do, you might not have any energy left, and you might be so tied up in that. Now, for the last couple of weeks, I've been trying to add in here something about steps to take. What are the steps that you take to make this one work? The first one I put down was, see the circumstances that life throws at you. Just see the circumstances of every day as possibly containing opportunities. You're aware that there could be opportunities coming. D.W. Hunt makes a point of this one. Jesus was asked by somebody, "My daughter is dying, please come to my house and help." And on the way, the woman with the hemorrhage touched the hem of his garment. And he stopped, and instead of scolding her very much, he responded to her needs as well. He could be distracted from the bigger things he was working on, but there was some choice to that. Was it still something involved in his mission? Develop the ability to be in tune with God at all times. There's a phrase in Scripture that says, pray constantly. And what I think that's talking about is an awareness of God and a communication with God as circumstances come at you. Just have in mind that might be an opportunity for service. There might be an opportunity there. And a connection with the Lord that says, give me a little wisdom, give me a little insight. Is this one I should pay attention to? Or should I let this one go by? And then when somebody asks you to do something, as happens every week, ask the Lord. Pray about that. Where is my place of service? Where are the things that I should be doing? We got time for another one?
7 minutes.
Yeah, we don't have. I'm looking at all I want to do. We don't have time, but we could perhaps.
That's like the little
things.
Like little.
Yeah, I make it that way, so maybe I'm fair with you. What are the words that go along with merciful? Maybe this will be enough. Let's get the synonyms in here. What are some words that go along with merciful?
Compassion.
Caring. Passionate.
Forgiving.
What does the term? We've got mercy and we've got grace. Mercy, grace. If you want a nice parallel definition of those two, do you know how to give it?
Love.
Okay. Grace is God supplying what you don't deserve. And mercy is not giving you what you deserve. That's at least one that I heard. Mercy means the things that you deserve don't come. Grace, the things you don't deserve do come. That probably oversimplifies, but that probably should be in here somewhere. The word benevolence is in here. Benevolent. Close enough. What does the word benevolent mean? What does that speak to? It's an attitude of charity, an attitude of looking for ways to help or encourage or support. Right. Sympathetic was another. What does that mean? There's a fascinating little thing. You can try this if you want to. Get a piano sometime. Walk out here in the fellowship hall. I think there's a piano out there. Sit down. Put your foot on the pedal that allows the note to play for a while. Are you aware of there being a pedal like that? Some of you had enough piano lessons to know that, right? You can push that pedal down, and the things that dampen the strings come off. If you don't have that pedal on, then as long as your finger remains down on a note, you play a note, as long as your finger remains down, the felt comes off of the string and the string will vibrate. Right? And the moment you release the note, then the felt comes back and it stops the string from vibrating. So push that pedal so the felt is off of all the strings and pick one note and just go boing, 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 boing. Play that one note about 5 or 6 times and then stop and listen. What will you hear?
Vibration.
You'll hear all the other strings vibrating? Which ones? Musicologists will call that the sympathetic vibrations. The sympathetic vibrations. Well, that is, they have a frequency in common. Multiples or divisors, I forget which one it goes, that's basic physics. But there's something in common. And it's really neat to do that, because what happens is fundamentals, lower notes, will cause upper notes to start vibrating. I like that as part of this. Sympathetic means there's something about a condition that a brother or sister is in that moves me to action, moves me to do something that might be helpful to them. Tolerance. Can you start to see a perversion that might sneak in here with that word?
Sure.
Never let the consequences stop. Tough love says there's a line between these two. And tough love says sometimes the consequences have to fall, but in the long run, that's better for the first. But it's still a thought through process or a thought through function. There's another word, forbearing. I've done something that I'll recommend to you. And if you want a shortcut, let me know and I'll see what I can do to help you. The National Geographic website has something it calls the Picture of the Day. And they go into their magazine and they pick out stunning, stunning pictures. And they offer a new picture every day. They got an archive. You can go back. And so I went back, I don't know, half a year or so one afternoon and picked out 40, 50 pictures. And I've got that as the group of pictures that comes up on my computer screen when the computer's idle for a little while. It's just stunning pictures come up. It's just beautiful, beautiful pictures come up. And I've got one picture that shows a mother lion and there's 2 or 3 little cubs crawling all over her. And I think it was this picture set. It may have been another one. One of the cubs is chewing on her ear. Okay? I think that illustrates this. All right? It says, you know, okay, in our relationship, let's put a little elastic in it. Let's put a little elastic before the breaking point comes. And this word, I think, it's not the big word. The big words are back up here. But there's a little touch to this one down here that says, I don't get to the point where you push my buttons quite as quickly as maybe you could if I wasn't paying attention. So, what are we going to be ready to do when we come back next week? Talk about opposites. Talk about perversions. And what? And talk about how do we put this one into practice? And this one, there's a couple of scripture verses I'm going to take you to, some in Matthew, some in Luke. We're going to wander around a little bit and look at a few things and maybe try to make this one come alive. When we finish that, we'll find another word and then another word and then another word. We'll be at this for a little while. Okay. How's it going so far? Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for the time you give us. We thank you for our fellowship. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit among us. We pray that you would teach us how to be entreatable, how to be willing to serve, but also to be wise about where we put ourselves into service so that the things we do are things that do fit into your sense of where we best serve in the kingdom. and teach us how to encourage each other in the service, recognizing that as we serve together, we strengthen our bonds with each other and with you, and we become a better witness for you in a world that doesn't know you every place. All this today we pray in your Son's name. Amen.